Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to be starting at the last verse of chapter 1, and then we're going to read the first 11 verses of chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading this morning from the Amplified Bible this morning, beginning at verse 28 of chapter 1 and reading through verse 11 of chapter 2. Verse 28. Therefore I have given him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. And they worshiped the Lord there. Hannah prayed and said, My heart exalts and triumphs in the Lord. My horn, my strength is lifted up in the Lord. My mouth is no longer silent, for it is opened wide over my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance go forth from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. But those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children languishes and is forlorn. The Lord slays and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and He lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with nobles and inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of His godly ones, but the wicked shall be silenced and perish in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them will He thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge all peoples to the ends of the earth. And He will give strength to His King and exalt the power of His anointed, the anointed one, His Christ. Verse 11, Elkanah and his wife Hannah returned to Ramah to his house, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for this passage of Scripture. We thank You, Father, for the testimony of this godly lady who poured out her heart before Thee in prayer, seeking for a son. And then when the answer to that prayer came and she had a son, she returned him unto Thee, and she rejoiced in all that You had done through her and the victories that You had given her. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might take to heart this song of Hannah, this prayer of Hannah, as she rejoices as she leaves her son there at the tabernacle to serve Thee for the rest of his life. Lord, I pray that You would give us thankful hearts. Help us, Lord, not to be complainers and gripers and those who are constantly whining about this situation and that situation or what we don't have or what we wish we have. Lord, help us to be thankful for what You provided and to be content with that. And help us, Lord, to have the spirit of Hannah. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In many ways, this is kind of a very sad day for Hannah because she is delivering to Eli, the high priest, her son. She's only had him for maybe 3, possibly 4 years. But in those 4 years, she's connected with Samuel and she has taught Samuel what it means to obey, what it means to love God, what it means to serve God. And when she brings her son to Eli, she prays before the Lord. She is not weeping like she was the last time that she came. Remember, she did not go up with Elkanah during those interim years to bring Samuel up. She stayed back at home. There was no interruptions to be had when it came to training this boy. But when the time was come and it was time to go up to the temple to worship the Lord, she came with her husband. And what a spirit and attitude that she had. You know, I wish today that we had more people that had that kind of spirit and attitude when it comes to dedicating their children to the Lord. You know, we live in such a selfish world where children today are raised almost like animals. We see this out at the ballpark all the time where, you know, kids are just out there doing their own thing. And we need to understand here that Hannah was leaving her four-year-old child in the care of someone who was a horrible parent. Now just chew on that for just a moment. We're going to see in this chapter what this little boy is going to have to grow up with. It was horrible what he had to grow up with. Some people would get upset immediately and say, "Oh, why did God do that? Why did God allow that?" Folks, do you understand just how small we really are in God's presence? All right? Do you understand that God can do more than one thing at a time? As a matter of fact, there's no limit to the things. Some people struggle with walking and chewing gum. You know, it's like, you know, they can't do it. Some people struggle with doing more than thinking more than one thought at a time. That was me in math class. All right? He was talking about axioms, and that was Mr. O'Pager during the time, and I'm just like going, "Well, let's see, what am I going to do when I get home today?" That was my one thought. I wasn't thinking geometry. I wasn't thinking the Pythagorean theorem. I was thinking about what I was going to do in the afternoon. All right? But you know what? God's not limited like we are. And why would a limited individual go to an unlimited God and question Him? You know what I would do? I would back it up right then. Right before I spouted off my, "Well, why'd you allow that, God? Why did you make that poor woman have to give up her four-year-old son to go and live with a man who was a terrible parent? Why would you do that, God?" As if we know better. Right? That's what we're saying. We know better about these things, God. I'm going to tell you something, and you better listen to this very well. When we stand in His presence one day, we're going to see the glory and majesty of what God was doing in Samuel's life and in Hannah's life and in Elkanah's life and in Peninnah's life. And we're going to see it all fit together like a perfect puzzle. And all we'll do is say how marvelous this is in our eyes. Do you understand that? We will know then what we do not know and do not understand now. Now, I have to be honest with you. I've struggled with this passage of Scripture. I've struggled with it because could I do that? Could I take my daughter, my youngest child at four, and turn her over to someone that I know is a failure as a parent? And that's what Eli, the Bible says that about Eli. He was a failure. He allowed things to go on in the temple, the tabernacle, that should have been dealt with, that was worthy of what? Death. His sons were worthy of death, but not in his mind. Not in his mind. No. I want you to know something from this passage of Scripture. Hannah's not bitter about giving her child to the Lord. Do you see any note of bitterness in here toward God in chapter 2? Anybody take note of any bitterness there? Anger and upset with God? She's the one that vowed the vow, right? She said, "Lord, this child will be yours through his whole life. I want him to be a Nazarite. I want him to be dedicated to thee." Only two of them are mentioned in the Bible, Samson and Samuel here. No word of bitterness. And she prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." You know what, parents and grandparents? We need to understand something about children and grandchildren. They're not ours. Children are an heritage of the Lord. They belong to Him. That's why when they die in childbirth and they die before the age of accountability, where do they go? They go back to their father. They go home. All right? They go home. As a parent, you've got to understand that you're raising God's kids. That's a different way of thinking, isn't it? Because when you look at them at home, you wouldn't think they were God's kids. Right? You wouldn't think that when you're having to go back and discipline them because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't obey. Or they backtalked. Or they did something that they shouldn't have done. You had to go discipline. You wouldn't think they were God's kids. But the Bible says they are. Children are an heritage of the Lord. And she was dropping her only boy at this time. She's going to have five more children, by the way. We read about that here in chapter 2. She had three more boys and two more girls. What a wonderful picture we see. After, get this, after she had those kids, after she conducted her vow. 4 years went by, no children. She dropped Samuel off, and then we read about later on in chapter 2 that she had three boys and two girls after she fulfilled her vow. Now, there's a lesson all in its own right there, folks. Don't vow things to God and then go back on Him. Don't vow things to God and go back on Him. You've got a responsibility to do what you said. And that's exactly what Hannah did. And she cries out to Him as she prays, "Oh, how I rejoice in Thee, my Lord! Mine horn is exalted in the Lord." Horn in the Old Testament Scriptures has to do with strength and power. "It's exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in" what? My salvation. My deliverance, literally, is the word that's used there. What had she been delivered from? She had been delivered from being barren and having no son. And she's rejoicing in that. It was a privilege for her to bring Samuel back and take him to the tabernacle to serve the Lord for the rest. It was a privilege. Boy, that thinking is so far different today than what we see in the culture. Let's go on to verse 2. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside Thee, neither is there any rock like unto our God." Now, I want you to notice what she sees and what she knows. She knows what Eli's like. She was accused by Eli of being what? Drunk. And she even went to him and said, "Listen, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. I'm not drunk. I just want God to give me a son." God gave her a son. She knows what Eli's like, and yet she still is going to honor God. How many times do we come up with excuses for not doing what we know we ought to do? Because we assume that there's something bad going to happen if we fulfill whatever it is, and we assume that. Let me tell you something. Bad things happen all the time. But like Hannah, we can say, "There is none holy as the Lord." He's holy. He's righteous. He never, ever has a passing thought of evil. He's perfect. So that means I have to change my thinking about situations. Amen? I have to change my thinking. And you know what? I find out that I have to think like Hannah did. The Lord, there's none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside Thee, neither is there any rock like our Lord. What are you standing on this morning? What are you building your life on? The Lord Jesus gave the testimony of the two different types of foundation. There was the one who built his house upon the what? The sand. The Bible describes this man. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The wise man, though, did what? He built his house. He built his life on the rock. And when you build your life on the rock, are you going to get moved? No. The foolish man, though, that built his life on the sand, he was moved, he was destroyed when the storms of life came. And Hannah survived the storms of life because her feet were firmly planted on the rock, Christ Jesus. Do I hear an amen? Even when she's delivering her 4-year-old boy to leave him behind so he can serve in the tabernacle for the rest of his life. Do you have a vision that goes off that far into the future? I think most of us, we just think for today. Some of you right now, and I'm me included, because my stomach's growling right now. You might hear it over the microphone. I'm thinking about that fried chicken. And you're thinking, is Pastor Brainerd going to go long today? I don't know. But you think about it. You're thinking about all kinds of things. We're thinking about right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. But I'm going to tell you something. God's not thinking about right now. He's thinking before, present, after, future. He's thinking it all at the same time. And He knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And it's high time, Christian, that started to settle right up here. What does that mean? It means there is none beside Him. He alone is worthy of my everything, even my only son. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of my 4 kids. He's worthy of everything that I own. He's worthy. Why? Because it all belongs to Him anyway. I'm just a steward. Somehow we like to take God and we like to shrink Him down to right here. Then we can argue with Him. Right? We can argue with Him then because He's only this big. Like the Geico commercial that you see that lady behind the counter and the little gecko standing there on the counter, and she's standing there with her hands on her hips at him, you know, and he's trying to make an order, and she hollers out to the guy like, she had one mean looking, well, I would have just got up and left, but not the Geico, you know, the Geico gecko, he stood up to her, you know, to place his order. Now, I want to tell you something, we like to shrink God down. We might like to make Him this big, and God, how can you really expect me to fulfill my vow? How can you really expect me to fulfill my vow? You know, He's 4 years old now. I've come to love Him. I love Him when He comes and gives me a hug in the morning and says, "Hi, Mommy," and I'm not going to get that hug anymore. Not going to get that hug anymore because He's going to be serving the Lord. Can you think beyond the moment? Now listen to me. This is what it means to live the Christian life. This isn't what you're going to hear in the average church today that talks about feelings. I'm talking about what it means. It means, Lord, I promised you I'm going to give you this child and I'm going to give him to you and stick with it and not be angry and upset about it. It means rejoicing in the Lord because you know who God is. Let's go on. Verse 3. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Now, who would she be referring to here? You don't have to think very, very long, do you? Penina. Penina, the adversary, as she's called in chapter 1. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Every action that you make, God weighs it in the balance. Did you know that about God? You know, He's judging every action because as a Christian, you're going to be rewarded for your actions. One of these days, we're all going to be gathered together. Have you ever thought about that moment standing before the judgment, the bema of God, as Jesus sits there? And everything you've done in your Christian life is laid out there. And you're standing before the Lord. And the fire of heaven comes and devours all the things that are wood, hay, and stubble. And then the fire preserves that which is gold, silver, and precious stones. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be weeping. You and I both are going to be weeping because we will wish we had given more. to the worthy Savior. We wish you had done more for Him. As we watch all the works that were done in the flesh, because you see, what's left behind is going to be made into glorious crowns that we'll have the opportunity to cast at Jesus' feet, because He is worthy. Oh, that judgment seat. But you know what He's going to do? Because He's so gracious and He's so good, He's going to wipe away our tears. That's the description that comes to us from the book of Revelation, that He's going to wipe away our tears and they will not appear anymore. We'll be delivered from what causes tears. Do I hear an amen? And it'll be the Lord Jesus that wipes away our tears because we didn't do what we should have done in this life. But He's still in grace and in love. Allows us to stay, not because of the works that we had, but because of the works that Jesus Christ did in our behalf. The righteousness that was made available to us. Verse 4, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. She's got a picture there in mind of herself and her adversary, and how that she had mocked, and she was fruitful, and she had a number of children, but now God has undertaken for Hannah. She's putting these two out there so that we can see the source of struggle that she had, but now God has shown Himself powerful in her behalf. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. You know what she's comparing all that to? She has her struggles that she had with Peninnah. But then she changes the subject. And she goes over here after she says, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar, and says, He's the one that made the earth. He created, literally, the pillars of the earth, the world, and the Lord has set the world upon them. Have you and I done that? Have you and I done that? You know, we look at all the inventions today. All the marvelous things that individuals can do. They've got a space capsule that they're readying that has been done by, Richard Branson from Virgin Airlines. He's developed a spacecraft, a reusable spacecraft that he wants to do to take people all the way out there into outer space and then bring them back in. And we marvel at the ability of man to be able to do that. To put them inside of a capsule where they're not having to wear the suit type thing. They're just riding up there and go up in there and they come back in. Just amazing to think about those kind of things. But that doesn't scratch the surface of the One who built the pillars of this earth and set the world on top of it. We haven't done that. All we do is take the stuff that He made, spoke into existence, and try to do something with it. That's all we can do. Let me tell you something. When you start thinking yourself big and powerful and someone to be reckoned with, you better look out, because there's one that's bigger than you are. He's bigger than all of us. And He will take you down. He will take you down. Better be careful how you think. Notice verse 9. He will keep the feet of His saints. What's one of the first things to go in our human bodies as we get older? What do you see an abundance of today? Wheelchairs, right? Why wheelchairs? Because our feet and our legs are the first things to go. We have a number of folks that are out here at the ballpark that are in wheelchairs. And so we've got a wheelchair accessible bathroom unit out there. We've tried to make sure that we can help them. If we need to come and pick them up and take them down, we try to help them out any way that we can. But it's a reminder. It's a reminder, is it not? That which allows you portability, that which allows you to move around is the first thing that seems to go. Not always, not with 100% of everybody, but with many. The feet. And what does God say? What does Hannah say in her prayer to God? He keepeth the feet of His saints. Now, you know what she's talking about here? She's talking about the spiritual side of things. She was going to get old one day. She was going to become infirm. She would not be able to walk or whatever. But I do know this, that God keeps the feet of His saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. She emphasizes something that's emphasized throughout the Scripture, that no man can prevail against God Almighty. Not one. Not the biggest of men. You know, it's an amazing thing. I saw or was reading about Charles Atlas. Charles Atlas was a bodybuilder back in the 40s and 50s and so forth like that. And talked about his last years. The big bodybuilder. And how he had to be pushed around in a wheelchair. And how he had to be lifted out of the wheelchair. The man that was known as the strongest man was having to be pushed around and tended to by a young nurse. Okay? She was having to lift him up and pull him around. This strong man was made weak. That's what all of us face. We're failing. But God never fails. God never fails. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. You know what that's a reference to? That's a reference to His Son, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. His anointed. That's the picture that's given to, and she recognizes this. God will judge the earth. God is my judge between me and Penina. I'm going to let the Lord deal with her. But thank you, Lord, for dealing kindly with me and giving me my son. And as we read on later on, God visits her again. Because in this same chapter we learn, look at verse 20. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. What a glorious prayer that this dear saint prayed. I'm convicted. I don't know about you, but I'm convicted because my first tendency when I face a struggle that I don't understand is to question God. That's the natural tendency within me. And it should be questioning myself. What can I learn from this? Because I already know that God is glorious and He's holy and there is none beside Him. And He is the one that gave to Hannah this wonderful victory of a son. And now she's returned him to the Lord. And the Lord speaks to her and says, Hannah, through Eli, the Lord bless thee because you have followed through with your vow concerning this boy. May the Lord bless you with seed. And she had 5 more kids. 5 more children. Do you like good endings? I love good endings. And this is a wonderful ending because this was a woman that was completely dedicated to her God. And she believed Him. And she trusted in Him. And she didn't make excuses when it came time to fulfill the vow. She didn't make any excuses. As a matter of fact, it was the opposite that was true. She gave glory to the God who gave her a son. And she saw it as a privilege to turn him over, even though the one that her son would live with was a terrible parent. She was still thankful that she had the opportunity to fulfill her vow. God give us people that think less of themselves and think more of God. Then you'll begin to know what it means to have the glorious hand of God at work in your heart and life. But as long as your God is this big, all right, as long as He's this big and you can argue with Him, you're never going to know. You're never going to have the glorious blessings of God in your life until God fills the whole universe of your life and you see yourself as you really are. So that you don't have to have all the answers. Are you listening to me? You don't have to have all the answers. All you have to know is God who has all the answers. And then I can live by faith and I can live the Christian life and I can know the blessing of God in my heart and life. Because I'm trusting the one who has all the answers even though I don't know them. I'm trusting in Him. I'm thankful for the prayer and the song of Hannah. It's important to know this woman in order to get to know her son. You can't know Samuel until you know his mother. Then you'll have a full understanding of why he was what he was. This could have been a Mother's Day message, but I've got another passage to do it in May whenever we get there. But this could have been a Mother's Day message. For mamas, you want to know what kind of impact you can have? Study the life of Hannah. Spend time going over her song and her prayer. Let it reach down into your soul and get to work. Get to work with deadline urgency, because that's exactly what Hannah did. And she got a product, and God blessed her with more because He could trust her with one. Amen? God gave her more because He could trust her with one. And she did the job. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for the life of Hannah. This is really the only glimpse that we have of her life. Getting to see her true heart and how she felt about Thee. Even though she was turning over her son to a man who was a terrible parent, who allowed his sons to do wicked things in the same place in which her son would be living and ministering. But yet, because of the training and the teaching that Hannah put into young Samuel, he was able to do what was right and honor the Lord. And God removed Eli, and God removed the two sons so that the influence would not be so strong on this young man's life to turn him away from doing what's right. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts and lives. Oh, how we need to have the Bible in our hearts. And may the Bible live out in our lives and not just be something we tote around with us. May it be something that lives in our hearts, that we might see Your hand of blessing in our lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.